Well, when you were thrown out by the communists, did you continue organizing the unemployed, or were you working by them?
Oh, no, both. Both. I was active in both movements for a quite considerable time. I was active in the Communist Party, and I was active in the unemployed movement at the same time. Yes. And that was a full-time job. Not 6 hours a day, not 8 hours a day, 18. And no pay, of course, didn't matter. None of us got any pay anyway. So, but it was hard. It was frustrating in a way, but it was interesting. It broadened us out and it gave us broader perspective on life and things of that nature.
Did you remain friends with Ernie Winch?
Oh yeah, sure. I was one of his good friends, and I'm still up till he died. I was a good friend of Ernie Winch's. We'd had no quarrels. Ernie.
So philosophically, you wouldn't agree on everything.
Well, we didn't agree on that, but no, we didn't. Ernie Winch was a strong-willed man, very strong-willed, and very positive in his thinking too. You know, but we were friends because. As Ernie pointed out to me one day when we were having a little discussion, he said, well, he says, we're all part of the movement, you know, we're all part of the humanitarian movement to bring in socialism. I said, that's right. And how we do it, that will be determined over time, who's right, whether the communists are right, socialists are right, and so on. When I left the Socialist Party of Canada, told him why, I resigned from it. I saw Ernie make a few days. I said, Ernie, I feel kind of badly about this, but I said, I can't see this attitude. And he said, don't worry. He says, that's all right. I can understand your position. He says, if you feel you can do better the movement in that movement, in the workers' movement, by going into the Communist Party, he says, do so, by all means. I feel I can. I feel I can. I can be more valuable to the unemployed. And that's what we are concerned about now, the workers in general. So I feel that that's where I should be. And people say, what? You joined the Communist Party? Oh, how low can you get? All this sort of thing. This is the stuff that they brought up. I said, well, that's your way of thinking, not my way of thinking. I says, I'm proud to think that I've got into a movement that's going to do something for humanity. I'm proud of it. And I said, you can stay in the rut if you like, but I'm going to get a little better, higher plane than that. And that's the way I used to combat them, you know. I was well posted in those days, and I could handle anybody that they threw at me, even in the debate. I can't now, but I could in those days. I was well posted. But the whole issue, as I see it today, is not a matter of Russian communism or Chinese communism or Yugoslav communism or you name it. I believe in the principle, the philosophy of the socialist movement, generally, where you forget to think in terms of money, but you think in the terms of common good to the community. Think in terms of the community. And isn't that a much nobler thought? It's a much nobler thought. How much filthy lucre can I grab from the other guy? I don't care if they have roots, hogs, or dyes, don't care. How much can I steal from them? How much can I inveigle out of them? How much can I pep talk in business? How much can you put over? You see, that is the philosophy we're thinking. That's the way we think. That's wrong. It's immoral. You see, say, look here, how much good can I do my community? How much can I contribute to my community? The well-being and the welfare of humanity. That is the thought you should have. And they in turn do the same to you, so you get the benefit. You're not giving anything away. You're building up a bank account. Your bank account's there for you, drawn anytime you want it. See?
Talking of common good, do you know anything about a group called the Army for Common Good?
Yeah.
What did you think of them?
Yeah, that was a sort of a branch of the socialist movement that sprung up. That they were advocating sort of a communal setup in the prairies and so on, to work together, you know, and all this, but it never came to very much. It was a branch of the socialist movement, really, you know, it was.
I think it began in Burnaby.
Pardon?
I think it began in Burnaby.
It was called the Army of the Common Good. Who was the leader of that? Maybe you have a record of him there.
There's a Mr. Bingham. Alf Bingham, and there's also a Mr. McDonald, I think.
I don't recognize either one of those names. There was somebody more important than that back in those days. This was way back in the dirty 30s, too, some guy in Burnaby, yes, I believe, maybe I started Burnaby. But the leader at that time, that doesn't ring a bell. Name of the fellow, the name of Graves is one, I believe. And then there's I can't think of it now. But that was a small movement. The basic principle of that thing was sort of have it on a communal setup, where we're working all together for the common good of all. Basically, it's the same as the socialist movement, it's the same as communists and socialists so far. We realize that we have to build socialism before we build communism. Communism is a higher philosophy than socialism, but we have to go through the socialist stage first, to arrive at communism, the communist society, which would take a generation or two. You don't do it overnight, two, three generations before you get, forgetting all about greed and how much you can vague love the other guy, how much money you can acquire for yourself, how much gain, all this sort of thing. See, that is completely out in the final of communism. You don't think on those terms at all. Everything that you do, from the time you're born to die, is for the community. Strictly for the community. And you, being a part of the community, naturally get the benefit. And everybody works. Nobody's unemployed. Nobody has to prostitute themselves. You don't have to, because the men and women can make decently and cleanly without resorting to this sort of thing. And no dope and all this sort of thing can be abolished. And so when you have a guaranteed income, what a big load it is off your mind. Your income is guaranteed, no matter whether you have a setback or hardships, but your income is guaranteed from the cradle to the grave. If you're sick, the state will look after you and look after you well. If you're disabled, the state will look after you. But if you're lazy, they won't. Nobody will help you. Not even your fellow workers will help you. They won't help you. Say, here, you lazy bum, you get busy and do your bit. That's as simple as that. But that is takes away, you see today, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems of our society is this nervous tension, being in a knot all the time. Struggle, struggle, struggle. What for? I'm the same thing. I got into that rut. Do the same thing. Fight, struggle, struggle, struggle. What for? Just because I think I'm going to get a little more security, get a little more secure, and a few more bucks so that'll give me a little security. But that is not the way to look at life. That's not the way. Look at life, just table it upside down. Now, that is the wrong principle. But I'm in the rut too, same as the rest. I'm an exploiter of labor, and I'm go, 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 and all tensed up, this sort of thing. So half the ulcers are more than half of them are caused by being tense, and capitalism responsible for being tense. Simple as that. So I haven't got much love for capitalism.